Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin. Again.
That guy sounded stunned like no other.
I went to go get my fucking license plates today for California since I moved. And this guy fucking just called me right before you hop on. And he goes, hey, my wife gave you the wrong fucking license plate today.
This guy sounded stunned.
What kind of operation are we running?
Who is this through? The DMV?
It's called, they work with the DMV. They
well,
are
that's your
the
problem.
DMV.
You got to go through the DMV tick. You can't go.
I was going to wait in line for 5 hours.
Nah, you got to go through the DMV. They do it right. You go through these third parties. You get all these fucking sideshows who don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, it was just some guy, his wife and their dog was running back and forth.
Sounds like an absolute fucking... just an absolute mom and pop operation.
It was a Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse operation. Yeah, that's totally. And you know what? Now you tried to save yourself 5 hours. Now you're going to go back a second day, you know? Just do it the right way. Go through the DMV as painful as it is. Just, you know, bite the bullet one day and you'll get it done and it'll be done correctly.
Oh, Jesus. Well, anyway, man, it's been a while for the sportsman. It's been an absolute journey for the sports.
We are back.
We're fucking back, and you never know when we're gonna leave again. But
I feel
for
like
today,
we're like we just leave you on the edge.
But
no
for
one
today,
knows when the sportsman's gonna drop. But by God, when it does, it's an absolute heater.
We're fucking back for today, and hopefully we can get some consistency going. But you know what? At this point, you know what the show's about. Sometimes we're here, sometimes we're not here. But when
we try
here,
to be here, I mean, we got a lot going on. We do have a lot going on, Tick. And the thing is, and the fact is that needs to be, you know, really taken into account is the Ticket is a busy man now. The Ticket's not sitting around just twiddling his thumbs with nothing to do. This guy is editing a multi-major corporation, operation and you know, quite frankly, he's got a lot on his plate. So you know, we're doing our best. We're gonna keep putting out episodes. But yeah, I would like to not. I mean, I think we had a banger episode with Bob a couple weeks ago, and then it just felt like time.
That's the thing
by.
Is we got crushed. I mean, that crushed for any podcast, but especially for the sportsman, it absolutely crushed.
How many downloads did we get?
We have a tendency to, when we start getting a little momentum and people are like, fuck yeah, the sportsman, we just totally cut out on them.
Yeah,
we
the wheels start moving, you start going downhill, and then we just throw on the e-brake.
You've got a real self-sabotaging issue here.
I just think there's a lot going on. You know,
yeah,
what
no,
I mean?
There is. It's true though. I mean, he sort of said it in jest, but I know he means it. I really have been fucking crazy busy. Every day there's something going on with Bob Do Sports, and but you know,
that's a good thing. That's a real.
It
good
is a good
thing.
It's a good thing. It's not a good thing for the sportsman, but it's a good thing for my life. he used to just be sitting on my hands.
And you know what? We got sports back now, Tick.
We got
football back, yeah. Baby.
We've got important sports back, that's for sure. Football's back. Week one, we didn't recap
back.
It. There's already been a week two game. Why don't we start before we even get there? At some point, I'm going to run down every game with you and get a gut reaction on the spreads, but that'll be towards the end of the show. Let's sort of recap week one here in the top of the show. And just tell me some of the standout games, some of your favorite games, some of the bets you hit. What was week one like for cuts?
Week one was disappointing in the sense that I felt like I saw the field very well. We went 3 for 4 on picks and yet somehow still managed to, you know, walk away at the end of the week down. Right. The Packers was the one that just really, you know, really sent me reeling. Jerry Don said he loved the Packers +2.5. They went out and laid an egg. I'm going to start off with the Packers first and foremost. A lot of people are saying they're dumb. They don't got a chance. Listen, first and foremost, they did the same shit last fucking year. They absolutely laid an egg week one against the New Orleans Saints at home in Lambeau. And you know what? They came back and I think they won like 9 or 10 straight. So I'm really not too concerned. I just, I feel like there's a lot of kinks to iron out. I think we're lucky we're getting a home match next week against the Bears in prime time. I would be remiss to say I see no chance of us losing that game. I think it's already like a -9.5 to -10 spread for the Packers at home. I think they take care of business. I think they win, and I think they start gaining some momentum. There's a lot of young guys on this team, you know, Christian Watson, Dobbs, receiver in terms of receivers that I think really are just kind of going to start finding themselves, and Aaron is going to really get them going. I'm not concerned. I'm really not pushing the panic button yet. So that was the big one I lost. We hit the Bears +7.5, which was great.
We
hit the Dolphins. And I'll tell you what, the Dolphins were one of the most impressive teams to watch this week in terms of defense and offense. They just looked like they were firing on all cylinders. That game was easy. We hit the Chiefs. And then I think the last game we hit, we with Bears, Chiefs, Dolphins. What was the other one we hit? Oh, a second half Giants we hit as well. And by the way, good on the Giants. Good on friend of the pod, Saquon Barkley, yeah, coming in and having just a massive fucking second half, a huge game overall, and taking them to victory. It was really good to see. But I tell you what, there were some absolutely outrageous games. The Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game was absolutely back and forth insanity.
Yeah.
To see that, you know, Cincinnati scored with like basically no time left on the clock. The game looked like it was a wrap. It was a walk-off. Then the extra point is blocked. There's a field goal, botched 28-yard field goal by a kicker who's a Pro Bowler in the overtime. And then the Steelers come out and win that game somehow. I would say that was the game of the week. But there was a lot of unreal games just down the stretch. And it just feels good to have, you know, football back. It really does.
Yeah.
Then this week we had already the Chargers and Chiefs. Absolute unreal awesome game.
Yeah.
We hit everything. I had Chargers +4. You had the over and Chiefs plus two.
Plus two. Yeah.
Both hit with that last touchdown. Sick. I'm just so thrilled to have football back. It just feels so right, so good. We went to the game, by the way, on Thursday night, the home opener, SoFi Stadium, Bills and Rams. Josh Allen did his thing. We were there in the fucking Corona suite. That was unbelievably epic start to the season to watch that game unfold and be where we were. And I could not be more thrilled that the NFL's back. It feels so right.
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, I there were a couple of bang jobs in week one with, you know, the Panthers really fucked us.
Yeah, but that was a good game.
And the Cowboys really fucked us. And I don't know about you, but the Broncos really fucked me. But overall, I mean, I won money week one. I'm up money after the Thursday game yesterday.
I feel good.
Week two. It's been a really great start to the season on the betting front. And just from the game standpoint, it's been really good too. I mean, I would not hit. I agree with you on your Packers. I'm not hitting the panic button. I do think maybe they want to think about trade deadline, getting a wide receiver. It doesn't have to be a star, but somebody.
I think just anyone with some savvy veteran talent.
Yeah, you know? Some other takeaways. The Dolphins is – the thing about the Dolphins was their offense was pretty good, but the defense was the story for me. But I can't tell if their defense is sick or if New England's offense is putrid. It might be a little bit of both, but the Dolphins week one, that's all we have to go by. Their defense looked fucking phenomenal. And how about an ex-Eagle, you know, Carson Wentz coming out slinging, albeit against the Jaguars, but he made some impressive throws. He made nice.
I think he had three touchdown passes.
He looked good.
I mean, I have learned.
Regular season Carson Wentz has always been. That's what he shines.
Even he's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde player. He'll look unreal the first week, 1 week, and the next week he'll look like he doesn't know what he's doing out there. Good for him. He does. I hope between Dotson and then McLaurin and Curtis Samuel is a great addition to that. They got some decent players. Gibson in the backfield. They got some depth. I wouldn't really sit there and say that the Commanders are a team to watch out for.
No, but it was impressive to see just a guy. I'll tell you what was impressive. So much flack. I mean, yeah,
the Philadelphia Eagles look like a team to reckon with, Ticket, and you got to be absolutely thrilled with what you saw to Jalen Hurts.
I was thrilled what I saw about Jalen Hurts. We looked very, very good on both sides of the ball until we went to sleep in the fourth quarter. I mean, we stopped watching the game kind of because we had a billion games on, and I felt very good about the Eagles against the Lions. And then all of a sudden, late in the fourth quarter, they're only up 3 points, and the Lions scored 14 unanswered, 2 touchdowns, and, you know, we squeaked away with that one. And again, I think we took our foot off the gas, and people got to remember the Lions truly are. They're a lot better than they were last year. They just keep improving.
They're a scrappy team this year.
The one thing about the Eagles, I am starting to change my tune on Jalen Hurts, at least after that game. He definitely looked a lot better and more improved than last year. But, man, he runs so much, which is great for fantasy. But, like, to see your quarterback take that many hits and not be Josh Allen, you know, because he's huge and he's just a stud. Jalen Hurts, not to say he's not a stud, but he's not Josh Allen either. He's taking a lot of licks, man. And it's like, can he do 18 weeks of this? And
I think he's got to pick his moments where he's going to really go for it. And when he doesn't and sits back in the pocket, but he was making throws, dude. He looked good.
You know, who's kicking themselves is the Tennessee Titans, because AJ Brown looked re-fucking born with Jalen Hurts throwing him the ball, man. He was unbelievable.
I think the Eagles, between Goddard and then A.J. Brown, and then what's his name, the young guy that you
have? Devonta Smith, man.
Devonta Smith is almost like your third option. I mean, you got some real talent back there. Your running backs between
Miles Sanders looks reborn too, yeah.
I got him on my fantasy, and I got to tell you, I loved what I was seeing out of him. Even Kenneth Gainwell looked like he was pretty solid too. I think the Eagles are a team that people should not write off that could make a big-time push this year. They look good. And I'll tell you what, you're not going to see what's his name, Uncle Rico, anytime soon, as long as Jalen Hurts keeps playing like that. There is no chance you are seeing what's his name again. You're not seeing him make a fucking appearance, because Jalen Hurts looks like he's here to play, and good for him. I think he's a great guy. I'm rooting for him. He seems just like a guy that you want in your sideline. He's a go-getter. He doesn't talk shit. He's not a big-time ego guy. Good for him. Good for Jalen. Good for your birds. You got to feel good.
Gardner Minshew is Uncle Rico. I do. I feel really good, man. I mean, it was just such a fun week one. I mean, a lot of teams you expected to win, and then a lot of controversial wins. I mean, I think we all expected the Cardinals to backslide, especially playing the Chiefs. But they look pretty fucking putrid. They looked worse than I thought they would.
Look really bad.
That's a team in shambles, man. I don't know what's going on with Kyler Murray and everyone over there in Arizona, but that's concerning to me if I'm a fan.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you there, Tick.
And another one is on the other side of that coin, who did lose week one, but I showed me a lot. I think the Raiders, they lost to the Chargers, but the Raiders look like they're just a really good team stuck in probably the hardest division in football. I think they got a good squad. I mean, we saw some chemistry there with Davante Adams and
the Fresno State connection. The Raiders were a good team last year. I figured they'd be a good team this year. There's no difference. The team in that division that I was just really disappointed in is the Denver Broncos. Looked fucking awful. I mean, you're going up against a team with Geno Smith as their quarterback, and they, by God, made this guy look like the second coming of Christ. This guy, and it was, I'll be honest with you, he was just dumping and dinking and dunking all these small little passes. There was just holes everywhere in the defense. They did not look good. Russell looked shaky. And talk about an all-time blunder for the coach on 4th and 5 with 3 horrible timeouts to opt to go for a 64-yard field goal instead of putting it in the hands of a guy that you just signed as your fucking lead man and your fucking star quarterback. You want to talk about a rough start to the season? The Denver Broncos, my goodness. That is a rough loss.
That was one of the most embarrassing things of week one, was the fact that the coach with 3 timeouts, that 4th and 5, that he didn't, you know, I hate the term, but he didn't let Russ cook. That was not Broncos country. They were not riding to fucking kick that
field
goal. He
was in a position where he could not lose. If you put the ball in Russ's hands and they don't get the first down, you say, listen, I trusted my star quarterback. He couldn't get it done. If he gets it done, then you say, listen, I trust our quarterback. We're riding with him. He has all the confidence
in the world. Yeah, and the drive continues and you can win
and
the game.
And then you still have three timeouts. Yeah. You get an extra even 5 to 7, 10 yards. And then you have a field goal kicker in McManus who can make a 55-yard field goal, no problem. But you're opting for the tying the longest ever field goal recorded instead of giving it to your star quarterback. You just paid all this money, all these draft picks for. Talk about a rough start. I thought that was just an abysmal call. But
it was. But I'm also not hitting the panic button on the Broncos just yet. I think I think that was the Seahawks Super Bowl. I think I think Pete Carroll was, you know, had the boys ready to go. He wanted to beat Russ. And I think they played as hard as they possibly could. I don't see them having the same kind of success for the rest of the season. And I think the Broncos will figure it out. I mean, they've got some really good players, and I think they're still building that chemistry. I'm not ready to hit the panic button on them yet, but boy, that was embarrassing.
That was tough.
There was only one team fumbles. More embarrassing than them, and that was the Cowboys. That was the only team.
The Cowboys were horrific. The Packers were terrible. Yeah. The Cowboys are in shambles. They got no Dak Prescott now for what, next 6 weeks. I got Ezekiel Elliott on my fantasy team. I don't know what to do with this guy. I don't know if I start him. Do I put him on the bench and then he gets all this workload and maybe he gets one or two touch? I don't know. Cooper Rush is the quarterback, and I don't know what to do. I got what's his name from James Robinson on my bench who looked unreal, and I got Zeke sitting there, and I'm just like, what do I do here? Do I play this guy? Do I sit him? Do I wait till Dak comes back? Cooper Rush certainly is not going to be striking any fear in the hearts of any defense. So I would imagine a lot of these teams are going to be stacking the box for Zeke. It's a bad situation.
Yeah.
Just situation.
At least the Packers, you know, they have a whole new, you know, young wide receiver core. The Broncos are still figuring out their chemistry with Russ. The Cowboys are a lot of the same players, and for them to look that dour and abysmal and abhorrent. I mean, they scored 3 points. They didn't have a single touchdown. They looked bad before Dak got hurt.
And so we were on the Cowboys first half. It was just tough. It was a tough watch.
Cowboys first half because
they really had nothing to be exciting about. You know, they came out running the ball. They looked like they were going to bring something to the table. And then it just, I don't know what the fuck happened. That is a team that's in trouble. So you got to think like, very good for your birds to start. You got to think like, who do you have? You have the Commanders. They won.
Yeah, Dolphins Cowboys are definitely lost. The most impressive. You know, one.
No,
of the
but
most
I'm saying in
teams.
The NFC East.
Oh, in the NFC East. Yes, we're switching back to that. The Eagles. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Giants.
The Eagles look like the Giants.
I'm not worried about the Giants.
Could be like a team that kind of takes some people by storm, but I still look at that. If I do the eyeball test, I think the Eagles look like the team to beat in that division.
As long as Danny Dimes is lining up under center, I'm never going to be too concerned. I mean, any given Sunday, but a whole season, give me a fucking break. Come on.
No.
But switching topics a little bit, I want to go more to the fantasy side of things as far as James Robinson, because in our league, I also have James Robinson, a guy who was on my bench week one, but now week two, after being such a stud.
Are you starting him?
I am. I'm taking Devin Singletary out, and I'm putting...
See, I'm in the same position. I have Zeke and Singletary as my running backs, and I have you know, James Robinson on the bench, and I'm just like, do I start him? Are they going to play Etienne? Are they going to give Robinson?
I don't think Etienne showed enough to at least in week one, and I think he had a fumble too. I don't think he showed anywhere near enough to see any reason why James Robinson wouldn't get just as many catches and many snaps as he did last week, especially with the amount of production they got out of him. I mean, he had like 22 fantasy points. He was incredible.
Yeah. James Robinson really looks special. Right now I've got Zeke and Michael Carter in my lineup because I think Carter's actually legitimate. I think he's a threat for the Jets. But I just don't know, man. It's tough. I think I need to see one more week out of James Robinson before I jump all in.
Wow. You're still going to start that. This is interesting because we both have Devin Singletary.
So. I took Singletary out. I have Zeke. Zeke. And I have Michael Carter Smith from the Jets in my lineup.
That's not bad. Hey, Mr. Carter.
Yeah, I think he is. I think he's a real deal. This Brees Hall or whatever, this guy stinks. I honestly think Carter can catch the ball. He can run out of the backfield. And I think he's competent. I think he's going to get his touches. The reason I have Zeke still in is because they just don't – I don't know who else is going to get the ball. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like
– I think there's no reason – you should absolutely leave Zeke in. I think that's a great
I have to leave him in. Yeah. I think he's going to get a ton of work. And listen, we saw Cooper Rush one time last year against the Vikings, the infamous game where Cutsy bet the Cowboys and we won. He's somewhat competent as a quarterback. I think that he can at least get the ball downfield. I'm leaving Zeke and Michael Carter in my backfield, but I've got Singletary and I've got James Robinson and I need receivers bad. So I actually think I might trade one of these guys for an upper end receiver.
Wow. Okay. So let's hear your wide receiver core right now. How does it stand?
So in this league, because I traded away, but it's a dynasty league. I made a play to get Josh Allen and DeAndre Hopkins late last year to make a playoff push. So I traded my second, my fifth, and my ninth round picks. So I had limited picks. So my wide receiver core is not good. It's Jacoby Myers, Deontay Johnson. I have Corey Davis, Russell Gage, Michael Gallup, and Mecole Hardman. So I definitely need another guy who I think can just go out there and ball out. I'm thinking maybe a guy like Michael Pittman. My buddy has my buddy had Elijah Mitchell just go down. He's in dire needs of a running back, and he's got some receivers that I'm looking at. So I think that when you have backup players as your backups who are competent players who could still go out and get points, it's not a terrible thing because you can use them to stash up and then use as trade bait when need be, you know? So like this guy, he's got, let me tell you who his receivers are. His receivers are Hunter Renfrow, Michael Pittman, Curtis Samuel, and then he's got Lazard and Robert Woods. So like, I feel like if I could get Lazard, if I could get Pittman, one of those guys,
yeah,
that would really help round out at least my receiving core. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, fantasy is just such a crapshoot sometimes. You never know who's going to fucking come out and who's going to just ball out. You know what I mean? Like every year there's a guy who just comes out or there's injuries or whatnot.
Yeah, I have Michael Pittman in one of my leagues, another one with friends from Jersey. And let me tell you, what a pleasure. What an absolute pleasure. But listen to the one that I have for our league. I got Cooper Kupp, AJ Brown, and Jerry Jeudy. That's an embarrassment of riches.
I'll tell you what, in our league, I'm not even looking at my fantasy team because I got so fucked from the auto draft, dude, that I almost think it's time just to like,
well,
throw in the towel. My team is terrible.
But it's $1,500 that we're talking about. You got to put up an effort at least in the first few weeks.
I'm going to try, dude, but it's like I'm playing against guys who are significantly better than me. In a 2QB league, I ended up with a draft leaving me with Tua as my only quarterback. I had to pick up Baker fucking Mayfield, and I have him in both leagues as my QB2. And I tell you what, this is one of the more frustrating guys to watch week in and week out. He has the talent, I feel, to make plays.
He does.
But he just takes whole quarters at a time off. It feels like he just has these mental fucking lapses. It's like he could throw a 75-yard touchdown, but then he can't make a 10-yard out route pass. It's infuriating to me.
Well, let me tell you something, and this is a real stat that I feel like not enough people pay attention to. No one throws the ball into the back of lineman's head as much as he does. He's 6 foot. He's my height. He can't see over these 6'5" linemen. And he wastes so many downs not being able to see over them and throwing it right into the right guard's back fucking head. It's a problem, man. He doesn't roll out enough and get a clearer view. He's a menace, but I agree with you. He's got the fucking talent, man.
He does have talent. And by the way, he does have players who can make plays between Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore And then Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield. I'm not going to give up on him yet. I mean, he actually ended up salvaging a half decent fantasy day, but it was like second half and he looked horrific. He came out and ran in for a touchdown and threw 75-yard touchdown pass. And all of a sudden he salvaged a decent fantasy day, but it's just like, this guy, I feel like he could put up decent numbers. Like I would rather have Baker Mayfield over Ryan Tannehill. I would rather have Baker Mayfield over Matt Ryan. I would rather have Baker Mayfield over Marcus Mariota. So
that's what I wanted to do next with you. I'm taking a look at the free agents right now, and I want to go over a couple of guys I think might be better than either Tua. Well, first of all, how many points did Tua get last week? Did he do okay?
Tua actually was all right.
He had some decent throws to Tyreek and it wasn't bad.
Let me see.
Because I'm seeing a couple guys here I just do not hate. On right here on the free agency list.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now. I think Tua is worth holding on to just because of his weapons.
But
just
Jameis
because
Winston could be worth a shot.
I don't want any part of that fucking guy.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
he absolutely killed me last week. And I tell you what, it's just that guy is a menace to society to have.
Another guy I like, and we didn't talk about, but who was stunning last week and shocking at how good they came out. Davis Mills in the Houston.
Yes.
They look great, man.
And I have Brandon Cooks on my backup
wide receiver.
I think
this Davis Mills he can really be a player in this league, man. I think he can.
I think so. So Tua had 17.2 fantasy points in week number one. He had 270 yards passing, one touchdown. Rushing yards, he had two attempts to look like he had 15 yards rushing. I feel like Tua has targets and he has people who can make plays. I want to see what he does the next couple of weeks before I jump the gun for a guy like Davis Mills. Because here's the thing is, I feel like if I drop Tua onto the bench, someone else would likely pick him up. And the fact
thinking more Baker than Tua, but even a guy like Danny Dimes, who I hate, but he runs enough where he can be a player. Zach Wilson, maybe you stash him on the bench until he comes back in week six. That's not a bad
play. Well, here's what I would love to do. If my team was half decent, if my team was really half decent, which they're not, but if my team was half decent, I would pick up Deshaun Watson and I would just leave him on my fucking bench.
I don't think he's going to play.
He's going to play week 12, Tick. Now, the problem is at that point, you're getting ready for the fantasy playoffs and my team is just abysmal. I mean, I have some decent players, but I need to make some moves. I need to be GMing the shit out of this team in our league in order to be able to be competent whatsoever, because what I have right now is just not going to get the job done. Now, I got abundance at wide receiver with Ja'Marr Chase and Davante Adams and then T. Higgins.
Yeah, you're going to need to make a trade. Although, is T. Higgins hurt? He looked like they carted him off.
He had a concussion.
Week.
I think he's going to play this week. Mark Andrews I have as well. So I got some pieces, but I need a good quarterback. I need either a good quarterback or a really good running back. And right now I don't have either. And you know, I lost week one to the Jet and I'm probably going to lose week two to Bob. And, you know, before you know, I'm going to be 0-2 and I'm going to be looking from the bottom up and it's going to suck.
You gotta stay the course, man, for the kind of money, you know, it's a lot of $1,500. It's nice. You know, you gotta try, man. You can't throw in the towel once money's involved. It's a long season. People get hurt.
The auto draft, and I have no one to blame but myself. But at the same time, the auto draft did fuck me real hard.
It did. All right, now I kind of want to get into week two projections, just run some of the lines by you. But before we get into that, because I kind of want to close the show with that, is there any other sports we want to talk about? Is there anything going on other than that we wanted to talk about?
A separate note, not football related at all, but what's his name? Roger Federer retired.
See, I kind of thought he already did.
No, he just did this week, like 2 days ago.
Did he play in the U.S. Open?
He is. I think he'll go down as one of the best tennis players of all time. So
he'll
definitely think it's
be the best. Yeah.
I don't know if he's the best, but he's definitely up there. He's one of the most dominant tennis players to ever play. Serena looks like she's retired.
I don't think anyone has more majors than, I mean, I think Djokovic will pass him, but I think he's got the
Nadal's got to be up there too.
I think Nadal's like one behind him.
Nadal's got to be right there. I think he'll overtake him, but the bottom line is a huge legend in tennis. And I got to tell you, this US Open really was between this Tiafoe and
that was watching
this Spaniard dude, this, what was his name? Oh my God, it's going to drive me nuts.
Avicola or something.
What the fuck is his name? It's going to drive me nuts. But watching these guys play in some of these matches, I found a new love for tennis that I have not had in a long, long
while. Yeah.
It was fucking fun to watch, dude. It was really enjoyable. And just some of the matches, the back and forths. Kyrgios is an absolute nut job.
I like Kyrgios. I'm a big Kyrgios fan.
I don't like Alcaraz, by the way, is his name. Alcaraz, yeah. 19 years old, won the US Open. This guy, to me, is the future of tennis. But let's go back to Kyrgios. This guy is a lunatic, dude. He's shooting in behind the legs shots. When it's like it's not like the matches are out of reach. Like he was like in big time battles for fucking break points and he's shooting between the legs. He looked like he was disinterested. His fucking swing, or maybe not his swing coach, but one of the guys in his fucking entourage is wearing an 11 hat. I mean, like, what are we? This guy is a nut job.
Yeah, but you know, back in the day, McEnroe was a bit of a nut job, and we all love him now. I mean, I think the guy's bursting with talent. I like his attitude when he's not on the tennis court. Like just hearing him talk, like in press conferences, I think he's just great for the game. I think a little controversy is good for the game. I think he's a lot of fun. I think he makes tennis fun to watch. I think there's a lot of other people that take it a different approach, and it's equally as fun, just a different kind of fun. But I think it's just another character in tennis. I think it's helping making the game better.
I was rooting for a lot
of people are talking about him, and that's,
yeah,
you know, that's true. I agree with you, man. I used to love tennis. I used to watch tennis all the time, but at the last like 5, 6, 7 years, I've sort of drifted away. Cause it's just, I don't know. It's been boring. I there hasn't been anything to bring me back, but like you said, you know, between Wimbledon a few months ago with Kyrgios and Djokovic in an epic battle, and now the US Open, I mean, it's just been so much more fun. I think it's finding its footing again.
It's great. It's another thing to watch, and I feel like when you watch a real good tennis match, you can sit there and like root back and forth. And some of these long matches and these epic plays, there was the one match between that Italian guy and Alcaraz was maybe one of the best matches I've ever seen. It was incredible.
Yeah.
And I was rooting for Tiafoe. This guy's story is special. He was a janitor's son. He used to work at a tennis court and the kid would go and hang out in the office and then started playing on the courts, had no money. And to see what this guy did, it was really inspirational. But I just wanted to bring that up because we don't talk about tennis. We don't talk about some of these other sports very much. Normally,
yeah,
very football centric, but I think it's worth discussing. Roger Federer, one of the best to ever play, if not the best, retiring. Big, big news. That was one thing I wanted to bring up. Do you have anything on your end?
Yeah, it was very shocking. I honest to God thought Roger Federer already retired. I thought he was gone. And but congratulations on what a successful career. Good for him, man. Really awesome. Really cool. No, I got nothing. I don't think anything's happening in NBA, NHL, really.
NBA's been kind of quiet right now. Like, I don't know.
Eerily quiet.
It's kind of weird. Normally, there's a lot of news and tons of shit. I mean, we heard about the LeBron signing. Did Donovan Mitchell get moved?
No. He did. But he
did, Spider, right?
Spider. A lot of people thought he was going to the Knicks, but of course, the
he
Knicks
went to the,
fucked
where
it
did
up
he end
again.
Up going to? He went somewhere. It was a bad trade.
He went to the Cavs.
That's right. Yeah. What a terrible.
They're a pretty good team now. I mean, they've got a lot of young talent. They're a good squad. I think he's going to I would bet they finish 4 or 3 in the East this year.
Wow. All right. What we wanted to talk about okay. this week's NFL predictions?
A little gut reaction. I don't want anyone to hold us to it. This is just a gut reaction. If you want to find out who we actually pick, you can tune into all the guys' stories on Sunday and, of course, the prize picks. This is yes. just a gut reaction on Friday leading into the weekend. I'm going to read Cutsy the lines, and I just want to get his initial reaction on yeah. how that game's going to go. All right?
Let's do it.
All right. First game up, Falcons-Rams. Rams are a 10-point favorite.
I love the Falcons.
Wow. We're in Los Angeles, by the way.
I think there's a lot of value for the Falcons. From what we saw week one, yeah. there's a lot to be desired on that offensive line for the Rams. I think Mariota, as much as I don't like him, I think he's competent at least. And I just didn't see a lot out of Stafford week one to make me really think that 10 points is a lot of points ticket. I could yeah. see them winning by 7-8 points and the Falcons still cover with the points. Give me the Falcons plus 10.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bit of a revenge game for the Rams. I think they're going to come back swinging with McVay, and Stafford will bounce back. But I agree, 10's a lot of points. I'm also taking the Falcons plus 10. Yeah. Next game, Jets at Browns. Cleveland is a 6.5-point favorite.
Give me the Browns. I think the Browns are better than people actually give them credit for. I think they have competency. I'm not a huge Jacoby Brissett guy, but at the same time, I feel like with their running backs, they can dominate the time of possession. I think Flacco is not a good quarterback and yeah. is much past his prime. And that and let's be honest, that Cleveland Browns defense looked really pretty solid for most of the game last week against, you know, Baker and the Panthers team that's really not that bad. I think the Browns absolutely can cover here. I think they win by a touchdown.
Yeah, Myles Garrett looks like a man possessed, and Joe Flacco is enough of a reason to take any team to beat the Jets by a touchdown.
It's the fucking Jets.
Washington at Detroit. Detroit is a 1-point favorite.
Give me the Lions. I feel like the Lions are a team that people aren't giving respect to. I actually think this is a scrappy team. I think this is a team that is playing with a lot of heart. I think Dan Campbell, Motor City Dan, has them firing. I think that they're good enough. And by the way, I'm just not sold on the Commanders. They played a Jacksonville Jaguars team that I really just don't think is going to be that great. At home, where's the game? Is it in Detroit?
It's in Detroit.
I think Detroit covers here. I feel very good about it. Give me the Lions.
Yeah, I think the Lions are a really good football team. They're still building and they're trending in the right direction. I'm obviously a little biased, but I think they're one quarterback away from even being in the playoffs.
Jared Goff made some good plays last week.
He did, but you get a Lamar Jackson or something on the team, I think they're in the playoffs.
I agree, but I still think that they're going to be a team that probably will have a pretty decent draft pick this year with a couple of quarterbacks coming up from college. Jared Goff will be gone, and they can really rebuild. I think it's a team that has some talent. DeAndre Swift looked really good, man. This guy can run the rock. He can dominate. He can make plays. Jamal Williams looked like a pretty competent backup. And they got some players who can make plays between Hawkinson and Amon-Ra St. Brown. I like the Lions here. I really do. Yeah. I think the Commanders they're a wishy-washy team. I don't think they're going to come in and dominate.
Wishy-washy team with a wishy-washy quarterback. Give me Detroit minus one as well. Next game, Tampa Bay at New Orleans. This is a very interesting game. At New Orleans, Tampa Bay is a 2.5-point favorite.
Here's the thing. My gut says I want to take the Bucs, but if you look at the record the Bucs have against the Saints, it's the one team that, for whatever reason, Tom Brady really has not been able to fucking overcome. I think they played a really just subpar team in the Cowboys last week, and they really didn't like blow them out for any reason up until the end of the game. They kind of pulled away. I'll go with the Saints plus the points. I think I would buy it up to 3. I think the Saints, they always play this team tough. I think their defense is solid. I don't think Jameis is unreal, but they do have some players who can make plays. Don't forget, you got Kamara. And then on offense, you have some decent wide receivers. You know, Olave is a new young guy. They have, what's his name, who's coming back from injury? Michael Thomas. And they got some decent players. I think this is a big game. If it was in Tampa, I think it would probably take the Bucs, but give me the Saints. I'll push it up to plus 3.
Yeah, I really wish it was at 3-2, but I'm taking the Saints and the points. Tom Brady has a good record against the Saints, but not since he got to Tampa
Fournette
Bay.
Fournette is questionable, by the way.
Yes, that's he is. Big... He's on my fantasy team, and it's really unfortunate. And
if
like you
Fournette
said,
doesn't play, I definitely think you take the Saints. Yeah. I don't know what the
Saints
deal
have
with...
a good defense too, man. They've got.
I don't
good
know what
defense.
The deal with Godwin is as well. If he's hurt or he's banged up for sure after last
he's
week,
always banged up.
I'm telling you, I think the Saints are a sneaky pick here. I Me think they can back. They can cover for sure.
I love the Saints +2.5. All right, Panthers are in New York playing the Giants, and the Giants are a 2-point favorite.
This is a tough one. I want to go with Barkley and the Giants. I think the Panthers, this is really tough. I think I would go Panthers money line here.
Okay.
I'm not sold on Danny Dimes, dude. They barely won this last week. I felt like everything went their way. They showed a lot of heart. Good on the coach. He has them playing good. Barkley looked great. I just don't think they're that great of a team. And I think the Panthers are competent enough. I think they bounce back and get a win. Yeah. But I would take Panthers money line. I don't think I would be doing spreads or anything on this. I would probably, to be honest, I would stay away from this game. And I would probably bet the under, whatever the fuck the under is. I would probably bet the under on this game. If I don't even know what the line is
43.5.
I would probably still bet the under no matter what. But I don't think I would take anything. But if I got to pick a team, give me the Panthers money line.
Yeah, I'm staying away from this game as well because the Panthers and the Falcons, no one's fucked me more in betting than the Panthers and the Falcons. But I do like the Panthers. I would take the points because I need them. Patriots are at Pittsburgh. And the Patriots.
This is a bizarre game.
Very weird.
The fact that the Steelers are underdogs in this game.
Yeah,
to me,
2.5 points.
Is really, really bizarre. And this is one of the times where you look at the line and you're like, this is a given. I'm taking the Steelers. Yep. But then you almost kind of circle back and be like, what does Vegas know that I don't know? Because this makes no freaking sense whatsoever. I would think that the Steelers would be favored. So, I mean, I would still probably take the Steelers, but I would err on the side of caution on this because the line seems really funky. There's something not right here. The Steelers barely got a win this last week. They got lucky, some might say, but give me the Steelers this week. I'll take them, but I don't feel good about it at all.
I agree. The line is very, very strange. And the Steelers, I thought they showed a lot of grit last week. I thought they showed me a lot. I think Mitch Trubisky showed me a lot. I like this team. They're dogs, man. It's concerning that TJ Watt is not there, and that might be playing.
Yeah,
into
but
some
the
of
defense
line.
On a whole defense looks still fucking good. Fantastic.
Patrick looks awesome.
And the offense for the Patriots last week looked horrible. I don't know if they just ran into a really good Dolphins defense.
But it is always concerning when everyone and their mother is on something. That's Vegas that's, usually laughs their way all the way home.
I feel like everybody and their fucking aunt are going to bet the Steelers, and then somehow the Patriots are going to win this game and everyone's going to lose. But if I just did the litmus test, I would take the Steelers plus the points.
I agree. I'm also taking the Steelers, but I am suspicious. Colts at Jaguars. Indy is a 3-point favorite.
Give me the Colts. Did they end up losing last week? Didn't they?
They tied.
It ended in a tie.
It was 20-20. No one won the game.
What an absolutely brutal game. No wonder why I didn't fucking
take an Indy -3 or -3.
I would take Indy -3. I think they bounced back huge to even tie that game last week. They were down like two or almost three touchdowns at one point. The Jaguars are just a jinxed franchise, bro. They I don't know, man. They don't look good.
Give me the Jags +3. Trevor Lawrence. That's really the end of the story there. Dolphins at Baltimore. Baltimore is a 3.5-point favorite.
Give me the Dolphins. I really like the Miami Dolphins. From what I saw last week, I'm ready to roll with them again. I think their defense is firing on all angles. Lamar Jackson needs to show me that he's ready for prime time. And I know that he won last week, but he played against a subpar Jets team. Show me something against the fucking Dolphins this week, and then I'll buy in the Kool-Aid. Give me the Dolphins +3.5.
Wow. Okay. If it was 2.5, I would take the Ravens.
That's a lot of points, dude.
But yeah, I think it could be a field goal game. So give me the Dolphins plus 3.5. Seattle is at San Francisco. And San Francisco,
whatever the line is, give me San Francisco. The Seattle Seahawks are a fraud. Geno Smith is a one and done. What is the line at?
9.
Holy shit. That's
a lot.
Is it a primetime game?
Trey Lance and the Niners did not look all that good.
But they played in a fucking slop fest. So, I mean, you got to take it at for what it's worth.
They've got a great running game. All everyone talks about in San Francisco is how good
they're running. Give me the Niners. Give me the Niners. Yeah, right. Give me the Niners. They bounced back this week. I'm not sold on the Shithawks. I think that was, you said it very clearly, that was their Super Bowl last week.
Yeah.
Playing on a primetime game at home against a guy who was their franchise quarterback for years. It meant a lot to them. I don't see Geno Smith going 12 or 13 of 13 to start the game off again. Give me the fucking Niners.
I'm not going to let Pete Carroll bang me again. I'm going to take Seahawks plus 9. Bengals are in Dallas, and the Bengals are a 7-point favorite.
I would probably take the Bengals.
Okay. I am going to take the Bengals as well. I think that line is,
I think Burrow comes out firing and to be quite honest, I don't know what to expect out of Cooper Rush.
Yeah. I'm going to buy it up to 9. I think, I think the Bengals are going to wipe the floor with them.
The Bengals should have won last week. I think they come out firing. I think Joe Burrow slings it all around the field.
He threw 4 interceptions last week. That ain't happening again, especially against Dallas.
Give me the Bengals.
Houston is in Denver. 10-point favorite for Denver.
I tell you, Denver looked fucking bad last week. Give me Houston to cover.
I really like this Houston team. Not to do anything special,
I think that they're
very underrated.
I think they're scrappy, bro. I think they're scrappy. And the Denver Broncos really didn't show me much. Russ looked whatever. Like, he looked okay. He had the one pass. But if I'm being honest, the touchdown to Judy was underthrown. It was not a great pass. He didn't look that good. He looked a little rusty. The defense didn't look very good for Denver. Give me Houston plus the points.
And 10 points in the National Football League. Come on, man. Show a little respect for Houston. I'm taking the points as well. Cardinals at Vegas. Vegas is a 5.5-point favorite.
Give me the Raiders, dude. The fucking Cardinals looked terrible last week. Cardinals look absolutely terrible. Kyler Murray, I don't know what's going on there. Give me the Raiders.
Yeah, I'll take the Raiders minus the points as well. Bears at Packers, our Sunday night game. Packers are a 10-point favorite.
Give me the Green Bay Packers. I'm not looking back. They're coming back, and they're coming back with a fucking vengeance. This team doesn't lose to the Chicago Bears, bro. They don't lose. Aaron Rodgers dominates the Chicago Bears. He always has, and he always will. Big primetime game in Lambeau, first game of the season, coming off a brutal loss. I think LaFleur has his team running on all angles. I think the Packers win. I think the defense steps up. I think the Packers win by 13.
This is a 1 p.m. game. I'd stay away from it, but it's Sunday night. Who are we kidding? I'm going to bet it. And if I got to bet it, which I do, I'm taking the Green Bay Packers too. I think they absolutely obliterate the Bears.
Justin Fields has shown me really nothing. I mean, they won a game that was a fucking
slop fest, like you said.
Slop fest, and he showed me nothing. I honestly think the Packers bounce back in a big way.
Vikings are at Philadelphia. Philadelphia is a 2-point favorite. Who do you like?
Give me the birds, Tig. Come on.
Monday night.
I want you to fucking mop the floor with these Vikings. I can't stand the Vikings. Give me the birds. It was always the birds. Vikings can go to hell. Birds. Yeah. Give me Philly.
People are way too excited about the Vikings, especially over there in Minnesota. I don't think they're that good. You still have Kirk Cousins. Eagles look fantastic. We're in Philly. Let me get the -2 points. I love the birds. Final game. Last game. The other Monday night game is Tennessee at Buffalo.
How much Buffalo is favored?
10 points.
Give me the Bills and Josh Allen. Come on, give me the Bills.
I'm taking the Bills too, man. I'm taking the Bills, riding Josh Allen to the promised land. Guy's a fucking stud. He's going to be the MVP this year. He's the best quarterback in the league. Give me the Bills.
That's it.
That's it. That's all we got for you, folks.
I love it.
I think that was a good episode. Football heavy. We're back.
We are back.
All right. That is another episode of The Sportsman. I am the Big Ticket. That is Joey Coldcuts. And we will see you most likely next week, folks.
Love you, folks.